proceed with the next case, which is United States versus Tracy Peters. You're Mr. Schooning?
Mr. Schooning, yes. May it please the court, counsel. I'm Donald Schooning. I'm appointed counsel for Tracy Peters. Mr. Peters was convicted of second-degree murder in the Eastern District of Wisconsin before Judge Griesbach in a trial that occurred in April of last year. The homicide was of a young man named Sean Greeno, which occurred in September 2005. The legal issues in this case are relatively straightforward. The factual background in which they occur and which the facts developed at trial are quite confusing, in that we have 7, 8, or 9 individuals who were involved in a very large drunken melee in basically a trailer park on the Menominee Indian Reservation. One of those individuals was named Destiny Lyons. She claims to have seen Mr. Peters stab Sean Greeno in the heart in an unprovoked fashion, in a manner in which Mr. Greeno was standing apart from the rest of the melee, drinking a beer, not engaged in any violent conduct whatsoever, in fact being a peacemaker. That's the word that was used repeatedly at trial in trying to stop the rest of the participants from fighting, and then out of nowhere Mr. Peters ran up and stabbed Mr. Greeno in the heart. The other witnesses create a much more violent and explosive view of the situation, in which Mr. Peters himself is actually being beaten by several young men, and that Sean Greeno, while maybe at one point in time was acting as a peacemaker, subsequently was involved in the violence, which raised the issue of self-defense and put Ms. Lyons' testimony as the central issue, and her credibility as the central issue at trial.
Well, on this limitation on the cross relating to her mental history, the court invited counsel to present evidence that directly related to her ability to perceive and report, and such evidence wasn't provided.
I agree. I mean, on the first issue, the record is not as ideal as I would like it as appellate counsel, obviously. But I think we have a situation where the jury was told that she was hysterical that night drinking, that she had had prior bouts of hallucination, auditory hallucination, and had been hospitalized for 10 months. The jury was told it had occurred a long time ago. Those were her words. And when, in fact, it was developed that she had something called a schizoaffective disorder and that she had been hospitalized or treated within the past 3 years, appears to be about 2 years since the date of the homicide.
But didn't defense counsel say he had no questions to ask as to how her mental history might impair her ability to perceive events and report on them, and that he got about as much as he needed out of the cross?
Well, when the district court narrowed it down to do we have direct evidence of a psychiatric condition which bore on her ability to perceive events either on September 17, 2005 or as she was testifying, defense counsel backed down. But I believe before that, I mean, the judge had been told enough that there was a psychotic condition which existed, although psychotic was not a word that was used there. That's just a description of schizoaffective disorder, and that it was relatively recent. And in the case law I cite on that issue, I mean, the issue is one of remoteness. How remote is the condition, such as schizophrenia, although this isn't schizophrenia, it's a similar condition. How remote is it from the time in which she's testifying and the time in which she observed the events? And here, I would submit 2 to 3 years is not too remote for purposes of further cross-examination. On the second issue, Ms. Lyons had 3 prior convictions, which fell within the 10 years of Rule 609B. Although they weren't crimen falsi, they were crimes for which she faced a sentence of over 1 year. And the district court denied Mr. Peters the opportunity to cross-examine and impeach Ms. Lyons on those prior convictions. And it did so, although it used the magic words of Rule 403, which is the controlling standard under Rule 609A1, it repeatedly said, Judge Griesbach repeatedly said when making its ruling, it was going to treat Ms. Lyons' prior convictions in the same manner that it treated Mr. Peters' prior convictions.
It seems to me that was a very
favorable ruling for you because you're going to argue self-defense. It's very difficult to win a self-defense case if the defendant is not going to testify. And here the defendant did not testify, but the judge was going to keep out his prior convictions, which would have been an incentive for him to testify, and it would seem to help him establish a self-defense.
Sure, and we're not claiming the jury. He made any error in keeping out Mr. Peters' priors. And there was only one prior conviction that was within 10 years and was a felony.
Yeah, but they still going to ask you on cross-examination, have you ever been convicted of a felony? Yes, and get that in front of the jury.
Well, under Judge Griesbach's order, that would have been rejected. That one felony would not have been in play.
And I think Judge Griesbach is doing the defense a favor by issuing an order like that.
I agree. I mean, it was a favorable decision. Clearly, it would have, in evaluating whether or not Mr. Peters is going to testify, that would have weighed in favor of him testifying. He didn't ultimately testify.
Are you under... the judge must have anticipated he was going to. There were interviews or something. See, what I don't have, at least maybe it's somewhere, is what the heck did he say happened?
Well,
he admits stabbing this guy, and he talks about self-defense, and so I guess one would have to expect him to get up there and say, I never tried a criminal case, so I can't speak like both of these folks can. They've seen lots of them, but it seems to me it'd be pretty hard to make a self-defense without giving some indication of how you were defending yourself, or somebody who was right there to say how you were defending yourself, which apparently, what is it, 24 or 28 witnesses? And everybody who even drifted by this party must have testified.
Literally everybody who drove by, actually. Some of the witnesses were people who were just wrongfully pulled over.
None of whom seemed to have seen this stabbing other than Peters and Lyon.
That's correct. Nobody else witnessed the stabbing. Obviously, there's some issue as to how do you prove a self-defense case when the defendant doesn't testify, but the fact of the matter is the issue was put into play by Mr. Peters' statements to the FBI following his arrest, and most importantly to the responding officers on the scene. And the burden then is on the government to prove beyond a reasonable doubt. And here, without Ms. Lyon's testimony, we have basically a scene of mass chaos in which Mr. Peters is reportedly being beaten and somebody ends up being stabbed.
Now, if the court had allowed this questioning of Lyons about her prior convictions, what kinds of questions would have been asked and how would they have had some bearing on her credibility in light of the fact that it was before the jury that she had been drinking that night, she was intoxicated, and I think it did come out that she hallucinated, right? The jury knew that.
They did hear that much.
Right. So why would they have found the 10-year-old convictions particularly compelling?
Well, Rule 609 envisions that criminal convictions are relative to a person's credibility, and I would just have to rely on the fact that that's the rule that we would use. And it would have been something else from which the defense could draw to challenge her credibility. Now, these aren't offenses that relate to dishonesty, and that was actually one of the reasons that Judge Griesbach cited for not allowing them in. But they would have been something that would have been used. And quite frankly, in this case, anything against Destiny Lyons was going to be helpful because she was the linchpin to the prosecution. I know the government disagrees that they could have gotten a conviction without her testimony, but I don't think, not of second-degree murder, possibly voluntary manslaughter without her testimony, but I don't see how you could have second-degree murder.
And why is that? Because, I mean, that's what I'm trying to get to. If it was error, what's the real harm in light of what they knew about her and how drunk she was that night and she was hallucinating? I mean, you know, what... So you can respond.
Well, it's where what level of impeachment is sufficient, I guess. You know, here we have some bad facts but everybody was involved that night was drinking. I mean, nobody in this cast of characters that was involved in this fight was somebody who wasn't impeachable on the same grounds that Ms. Lyons was. But here was some additional criminal conduct in her past, which the jury would have been told about. To ask what she would have been allowed to be asked, she would have been asked the nature of the convictions and the fact of conviction. We wouldn't have been allowed to get any specific detail. I'll reserve any time that I do have for rebuttal. Thank you.
Okay, fine. Thank you. Fennell.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Tim Funnell. I'm an AUSA in the Eastern District of Wisconsin. I was also counsel at the trial in this matter, and I obviously represent the government on appeal. Mr. Peters makes two arguments on appeal. Both of them have been touched on already this morning. The first one that I'd like to address is the mental health issue of Destiny Lyons. Both issues, obviously.
Was Lyons the only witness out of 28 that testified to the effect that the stabbing was unprovoked?
Your Honor, the reason that the government called as many witnesses as it did is that Mr. Peters, in his statements to law enforcement, told Special Agent Lynch of the FBI that as many as nine people came over to the residence and were involved in this fight against the people at the residence. He was the only person who said that there were up to nine assailants. Everybody else said that it was either three or four or five. The jury was going to hear testimony as to people coming and going from the residence at different stages of this confrontation. They were also going to hear testimony about people driving up, and it was unclear, unless they testified, at what stage they got there. So the government did not want the jury to go back in the jury room and be thinking just how many people were there and why didn't the government bring those people in. So we brought in all the witnesses that we could identify at the scene, even if they would just get up on the stand and say, I got there after the stabbing. So the 28 witnesses sounds like a lot of witnesses. But several of those witnesses got there after the fact. Mm-hmm. They weren't part of the melee at all. Mm-hmm. So that's the reason that there's so many. And, of course, out of that 28 witnesses, there's also law enforcement witnesses who got there after the fact. There is the pathologist. There's other people.
But is Lyons the only one, right, again, who said, I saw Peter mm-hmm. stab this guy?
Yes, she is.
She's mm-hmm. the only one.
Yes, she is.
So wasn't her credibility the most important question in the case, and you bore the burden of refuting the defendant's claim of self-defense? She was the only one, and she was the only one who said the stabbing was unprovoked. So for the jury not to hear about three convictions, you know, how can we find that was harmless error?
Your Honor, this case does not hinge on Destiny Lyons.
And why not?
And the reason I say that is that the government never put it to the jury in those terms, and I don't think the evidence bore out in those terms. It was the defense in its opening statement. Mr. Phillips was representing Mr. Peters, and in his opening, Mr. Phillips got up, and he said, and this is at page 108 of the transcript, the prosecution will argue that our version of self-defense is not credible, and will argue that the government's version, that Destiny Lyons' version, is not credible. That's the big difference. Destiny Lyons will say Tracy did this on purpose, and we say it was in self-defense. That's the whole case, really. Everything else after that is window dressing. The defense put this in very stark terms to the jury. The government did not do that, and the evidence did not come out that way. What we have to remember here...
So what did the government say?
Well,
did the government say, in order to deter looking at these elements and whether it was self-defense, didn't the government argue you had to look at what Lyons said happened?
Absolutely. The government pointed the jury in opening and pointed the jury in closing to the fact that Destiny Lyons was going to testify and did testify and what her testimony was, why it should be believed. However, that is not the same as what the defense would have this court glean from the record, which is that she was the linchpin of the government's case.
So why wasn't she the linchpin? I still haven't heard an explanation.
There are five elements that the government had to prove beyond a reasonable doubt. The first is that the defendant killed Sean Greeno.
That was uncontested.
Exactly. That was uncontested. We didn't need Destiny Lyons to say that. Second was that the killing was done by the defendant with malice aforethought. As I argued to the jury, and as stated in my brief, we didn't need Destiny Lyons to do that either. All we needed, we had Mr. Peters' admission that he was the stabber. We had the physical evidence. present at the scene and on Mr. Greeno's body. He died of a single stab wound that went completely through his heart and ended in his spine. We had the murder weapon. It was a blade, it was a knife with a blade of approximately 6 inches. That physical evidence by itself is enough to show the jury that this was done with malice aforethought. That does not require premeditation. All it requires is that you have to kill the person deliberately and intentionally or to act with callous and wanton disregard for human life. I didn't have to prove that Mr. Peters hated Mr. Greeno or felt any ill will toward Mr. Greeno. The physical evidence alone, even if Destiny Lyons never was at that scene and never testified, would have been enough for the jury, along with Mr. Peters' confession, for the jury to find that this was done with malice aforethought. So that's the second element. The third is that the defendant is a Native American Indian. We brought in testimony about that. Destiny Lyons obviously didn't have any relevant testimony on that. Fourth, that the offense took place within Middle Village, which is an area within the reservation. And fifth, that the defendant did not act in self-defense. Now here is where...
Yeah, that's where she came in, and that's the...
That is correct, Your Honor. However, we have to remember here that we're not just talking about self-defense. We're talking about lethal self-defense. So even without Destiny Lyons' testimony, lethal self-defense, it's objective, and there are two different components to lethal self-defense. There has to be something imminent happening to you that you objectively are justified in taking action to prevent an interference with your person. That's the first part. But the second part is that the amount of force used has to be proportional. You can't use lethal self-defense just because you're in a fist fight. There has to be some reasonable apprehension on your part that you're suffering either death or great bodily harm. We didn't need Destiny Lyons to get up there and say that the circumstances of this fight, where the only people with knives were the people not who came to the trailer, but the people who were at the trailer. The two Latino gentlemen whose statements were read into the record, Mr. Flores and Mr. Cortez, they had knives, and Mr. Peters had a knife. Well, they're the only three with knives. The jury heard that evidence. The jury also heard all the evidence about the very superficial injuries that were suffered by two or three people in this fight. Bruises. One person had a cut. There were no broken bones. Nobody had to go to the hospital. Nothing like that at all. So you have to look at the case in the whole context. There was testimony not only from Destiny Lyons that Sean Greeno was being a peacemaker and trying to stop the fight, but also, as the government emphasized in its closing, Monyon Brisk, who was also part of Tracy Peters' group and had no reason to align herself with this group of young men that had come walking down the street, Monyon Brisk testified that Sean Greeno was trying to stop this fight and trying to be a peacemaker. So again, this case does not hinge on Destiny Lyons, and that's not the government backtracking from a contrary position that we took at trial. We took a very consistent position at trial in our opening, in our presentation of the evidence, and in our closing. It was the defense that chose to portray it to the jury in the stark terms that it did. If the court has no more questions, I'll conclude my remarks.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Cheering, you've got a little bit of time left, I guess, hasn't he? You've got about a minute.
Just two quick points then. One is kind of a mea culpa. On page 24 of my brief, I make the statement that defense counsel sought to explore the interaction of Destiny Lyons' mental health condition with her alcohol use and addiction, and Mr. Funnel quite appropriately calls me on that in his response brief, and I should have addressed it in my reply. I'd like to retract that statement, because although when I'm preparing for oral argument, I reread the transcript, and I'm probably reading too much and asking the court to read between the lines on that, and that may not be entirely accurate, but although I don't think it undermines the gist of my argument. The second point with regard to Destiny Lyons' testimony being key, Judge Griesbach said as much on several occasions in addressing her prior convictions. He said, before trial, he said, I understand her credibility is going to be key in denying the motion for a judgment of acquittal. He basically said, if the jury believes Destiny Lyons, they can convict. And at sentencing, he said, in effect, there is no other version of events than what we have from Destiny Lyons. And based on that, and he did cite the physical evidence as well, the jury had a basis to convict. So he was there and he observed it, and I think he properly saw her testimony as key. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Thanks to both counsel. Mr. Chuning, as you noted, you were...